Good morning, everyone. You're all welcome to have a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service. You'll remember that today is the deadline for anything for the April parish record. Tomorrow, the holy half hour is broken relationships. We have the midweek worship on Wednesday at 11, and then the guild next Wednesday is the Saltcoats North Parish Church Choir, led by Betty Keane. Then the prayer time on Thursday, and on Friday, the Lent group in Audrey Scott's house. The CAP session that was due to meet on Tuesday is cancelled, and an advance notice that, you know how on Palm Sunday we usually have a soup and sweet lunch for Christian Aid? Well, it's slightly modified this year. It is a lunch for Christian Aid, but instead of soup and sweet, it's sandwiches and cakes. That's Morrison sandwiches and cakes from the candy bar. So tickets are available, £3.50, and can be had from, I think, Linda McDougall. Is there anybody else selling them? Right. But see Linda at the end, and she'll sell you a ticket. So welcome to the third Sunday of Lent. We have a friend in high places, a friend who is faithful even unto death. Let us sing to his praise and glory in the white book, number 200, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Great indeed is God's faithfulness. Let us pray. O loving God, we are helpless without your help. Unless you help us, we can see the ideal, but we cannot reach it. We can know the right, but we cannot do it. We can recognize our duty, but we cannot perform it. We can see the truth, but we can never wholly find it. All our lives, we are haunted by the difference between what we ought to do and what we in fact can do. By your Holy Spirit, enlighten our minds that we may reach beyond guessing to knowing, beyond doubting to certainty. Purify our hearts that the wrong desires may not only be kept under control, but may be completely taken away. And strengthen our wills that we may pass beyond resolving to doing, and beyond intentions to actions. By your Holy Spirit, break for us the habits that we cannot break. Conquer for us the fears that we cannot conquer. Calm for us the worries that we cannot still. Soothe for us the sorrows no human comfort can ease. And answer for us the questions that no human wisdom can answer. O God, our Father, this day we rest our weakness in your strength and our insufficiency in your completeness. Take us and do for us what we cannot do, and make us what we otherwise cannot be, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning. How are you guys today? Good. Isn't it nice to be together with friends? I was wanting to think about friends today. Can you tell me anything about friends? Friends are caring. They cheer you up and they chivvy you along. When you're down, they pick you up. And when you're high, they calm you down. Anything else about friends?
They can sometimes be honest with you.
That's a good one. They can be honest with you. When you need somebody, a best friend, to say what nobody else will dare to say. Yeah, there's no limit. You don't have to have only one. Yeah. Right, Laura. You get to play with them.
You get to share your feelings.
Share your feelings, yeah. You're in good form. You must have lots of friends. Huh? Anybody else? Any other offers? What's the best thing about friends? They are respectful to you,
And support you.
And support you, right. One interesting thought, though, is we're all talking here about the other person, the friend. You're somebody's friend. So all of the things we're saying about somebody else should apply to us too. So do you do all these things to your friends? Yeah, good. Here's a quote, as I like this. I wanted to get lots of friends, but couldn't find a friend anywhere. So I decided to be a good friend and made lots of friends everywhere. See, sometimes we concentrate on the friend, what they should and shouldn't do. Maybe we should concentrate on what we do. Yeah? Uh-huh. If you don't have a friend, don't stick. Go and make a friend. Yeah. There are only actual friends or folk that might be your friends out there. Sometimes you get messages today about everybody out there is dangerous. Don't talk to strangers and all this. And there's a truth in that. But the world's not that bad, you know. There's a lot of nice people out here. We're all here. Everybody doesn't know everybody entirely well. I wish we all could know each other better. That's why you're welcome to come to the tea and coffee afterwards. But when you get to know folk, they're often quite nice.
Right. So don't let yourself down or your friend down.
Uh-huh. But we sometimes do. We try not to let our friend down, and we hope they won't let us down. But we can all have bad days. So don't worry, it's not a perfect world. You have to be the best friend you can be, and they have to be the best they can be, but nobody's perfect. I was reading a book, it's up there, but it's got lots of wee quotes about friends. And the book's called Splashes of Joy in the Cesspools of Life. And it says things like this. If only I could relate to the people I'm related to. Talking is sharing, listening is caring. Take a tip from nature. Your ears aren't made to shut, but your mouth is. We have two ears and only one mouth. We should listen more and speak less. The only condition for loving is to love without conditions. Friends stand by you when you're poor, sad, and in difficulties. Friends sing with you on the mountaintop highs, and they walk quietly beside you, holding your hand in the valleys. A friend is someone you're comfortable with, loyal to, grateful for, and blessed by. A friend is someone who is with you and for you, who trusts you and you trust them. A friend is someone who comforts and challenges you. That's what you were saying earlier. Who lifts you up when you're down and calms you down when you're high. A friend is a gift from God, a precious treasure. And Jesus is our friend. That's the amazing thing, that it's not just me and my friend, whoever they are. It's Jesus and me. We are friends together. That's an amazing thought. Right, having talked about it, let's celebrate it. If you all got these sheets, have a sheet just now, look on the back of it. So, this is in honour of all our friends and Jesus our friend. So, if you've all got the sheet, why don't we all just read it together? But can we read it in a rap sort of style? You know, the way the modern guys do with their hat back to front and snap your finger or tap your feet or clap your hands or get into the spirit of this. Right, if you're ready. Friends are kind. Friends are fun. Friends can talk and listen too. Friends can help. Friends can hug. You like them and they like you. Friends can share, friends can care, friends can play with you all day. Friends say sorry, friends forgive, friends don't sulk or run away. Friends are good, friends are great, friends can laugh and joke with you. Friends are true, friends are fond, friends enjoy the things you do. I like friends, don't you? Right, if you turn the sheet sideways, what can friends do together? Let's practice this before we try it. Can you walk together with your fingers Can you smile and talk with your hands like Italians? Friends can cry together, so you look sad and pretend you're crying. Friends can have fun together, way, and stay together if you take your two fingers and link them, and sing and pray together. So pray together with your hands. Right, let's do that as it goes at the same speed. Friends can walk together, laugh and talk together. Thanks for friends. Friends can cry together, have fun together. Hey. Thanks for friends. Friends can stay together, sing and pray together. Thanks for friends. Right, let's try my friend Jesus. Could you all say, as the chorus, who is he? And do it when I'm pointing, and I'll read the bits in between. So we'll start with you. Off you go. I can't see him with my eye, but he's so close by. I can't hear him with my ear, but he's very near. I can't touch him anywhere, but I know he's there. I can see his world, his lands, his sea, his sky around me. I can feel his love in those I see around me. I can talk to him every day when I pray. I can learn about him from his book when I look. 1, 2, 3. Right. And the last one. Right, if you can do the chorus bit, but Jesus' love goes on, I'll read the other lines. Ticking clocks and engines stop. Houses fall and so do shops. Clouds change shape across the sky. Pets and plants and people die. Holidays and birthdays pass. Very little seems to last. Thank you, Jesus. Right, so let's celebrate the fact that Jesus is our friend as well as other folk. So we'll sing together hymn 100, Jesus, Friend of Little Children. 100. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Psalm 55 at verse 1. Psalm 55. This is a prayer of a man betrayed by a friend. Hear my prayer, O God. Don't turn away from my plea. Listen to me and answer me. I'm worn out by my worries. I'm terrified by the threats of my enemies, crushed by the oppression of the wicked. They bring trouble on me. They are angry with me and hate me. I'm terrified, and the terrors of death crush me. I'm gripped by fear and trembling. I'm overcome with horror. I wish I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and find rest. I would fly far away and make my home in the desert. I would quickly find myself a shelter from the raging wind and the storm. Confuse the speech of my enemies, O Lord. I see violence and riots in the city, surrounding it day and night, filling it with crime and trouble. There's destruction everywhere. The streets are full of oppression and fraud. If it were an enemy that mocked me, I could endure it. If it were an opponent boasting over me, I could hide myself from him. But it is you, my companion, my colleague, and close friend. We had intimate talks with each other and worshiped together in the temple. Verse 20. My former companion attacked his friends. He broke his promises. His words were smoother than cream, but there was hatred in his heart. His words were as soothing as oil, but they cut like sharp swords. Leave your troubles with the Lord, and he will defend you. He never lets honest men be defeated. But you, O God, will bring those murderers and liars to their graves before half their life is over. As for me, I will trust in you. Matthew chapter 26 at verse 14. Then one of the 12 disciples, the one named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?" They counted out 30 silver coins and gave them to him. From then on, Judas was looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them. And finally, from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, at verse 66. Peter was still down in the courtyard when one of the high priest's servant girls came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked straight at him and said, "You too are with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it. "I don't know. I don't understand what you're talking about," he answered, and went out into the passage. Just then a cock crowed. The servant girl saw him there and began to repeat to the bystanders, "He is one of them." But Peter denied it again. A little while later, the bystanders accused Peter again. "You can't deny you are one of them, because you too are from Galilee." Then Peter said, "I swear that I'm telling the truth. May God punish me if I'm not. I do not know the man you are talking about." Just then a cock crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will say three times that you do not know me." And he broke down and cried. Amen. Now let's sing together from Mission Praise 746. What a friend we have in Jesus. Our text this morning is the words of Jesus when one day he stood looking at the crowds going away and he said, "Will you also go away?" I should say that this sermon was written long before I heard the news this morning. I heard on the news this morning that the cabinet meets tomorrow and the cabinet ministers are planning to stab Theresa May in the back. 11 cabinet ministers, they reckon, are going to turn on her. How do we know that a day before it happens? They're telling the Sunday papers before they tell Theresa May. And apparently, of the backstabbers, there are two factions, and they can name the leaders of the two factions, and they're fighting with each other who'll be the one to do the stabbing. We live in terrible days, but it really sums up what I want to talk about today anyway. Throughout Lent, we're thinking about the experiences that we have that Jesus had. He came down to this earth to identify with us, to share our human lot. So in the first week of Lent, we reflected on the fact that we have temptations, and Jesus entered into temptation. He was truly tempted. On the second week, last week, we were reflecting on the fact that we have enemies, opponents, people who make life difficult for us. Jesus had opponents, big time. Today, we're thinking about being let down by friends, which is a lot worse than being let down by enemies. You kind of expect that of them. Theresa May doesn't lose sleep over Jeremy Corbyn opposing her. She'll be losing sleep over her cabinet opposing her. Jesus was let down by friends. One day he stood there saying, "Will you also go away?" Jesus knew what it was to have crowds flocking, but he could see also crowds go away. There was no great loyalty. They were fickle. "Give us a miracle, Jesus. Give us another miracle and another. And when the miracles dry up, ta-ta." Jesus said another poignant line, "Where are the other 9 lepers I healed?" Jesus looked at people who had been blind and could now see, deaf and could hear, lame and could walk, paralyzed, everybody. He'd fed 5,000. Where are the 5,000 now? How many people who have had their lives touched by Jesus and have flocked to the church? Where are they now? We look around. "Will you also go away?" 10 green bottle syndrome. What happened to blind Bartimaeus, Jairus and his daughter, Martha, Mary and Lazarus? At the end, the disciples forsook him and fled. His faithful followers over 3 years, they didn't read it in a book. They had been there. They had seen it for themselves. They had been the recipients of the miracles. His own followers forsook him and fled at the cross. His constant travelling companions weren't so constant. The pioneers, the lights of the world, the salt of the earth, the rocks on which he would build the kingdom of God. Opposition from enemies is bad enough, but we can kind of live with it, as the psalmist had said there. Let down by friends, that's another degree. We get let down by friends. You prepare a meal, and then they cancel at the last minute. We get stabbed in the back when we trust someone, and then they let us down. I know someone personally who's been embezzled by their loved one in their own house. Thousands of pounds, tens of thousands of pounds. We get stabbed in the back with loose tongues, gossip. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the last one, said the hardest thing in his job was to know what folk were saying behind his back and being unable to refute it. Husbands and wives can be bad for pulling each other down in public. There's a song which says, "You always hurt the one you love." The world's full of unfulfilled promises and vows. In church life, we have empty pews, lack of volunteers, lack of folk at Bible studies. On top of that, just recently, we had new visitors, and someone said, "You're sitting in my seat." You hear about it in other churches, but it happens here too. Well-meaning friends can be jobs comforters. And you say, with friends like you, who needs enemies? We're trying to row a boat and folk are drilling holes. Jesus knew the problem. Let's take two of his best friends. Judas Iscariot for one. Remember that Judas was a friend of Jesus. Close friend for 3 years. They shared everything together. They ate together, slept together, walked and talked together, experienced everything, the ups and downs together. Of the 12 disciples, 11 were from Galilee. Only Judas was from down south in Judea. It must have been very special to be the exception. When Jesus needed a treasurer for the group, he appointed Judas. He must have been trustworthy in everybody's eyes. Jesus could read character in people, and he chose Judas to be the treasurer. The Last Supper, we look at the picture, the one next to Jesus is Judas. Why then did Judas do what Judas did? People have speculated down the centuries. Did he do it for money? There are hints that he was a money sort of person. Maybe that's why he was the treasurer. But when Jesus got anointed with the precious ointment, he was the one that complained about what a waste of the precious stuff could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But against that, 30 pieces of silver is less than 10 pounds. It's about the price of a fish supper, to be honest. Was it fear? Was he a coward? Was his nerve cracking? Like we're getting near to the Brexit deadline. They were getting near to Jesus is going to get crucified if we keep going like this. And did his nerve crack? Not really. In the end, he went to the Jews, admitted his mistake, and then he took his own life. He had the bravery and the courage to face the Jews and the bravery and courage to kill himself. Was it jealousy or revenge or disillusionment? Was he predetermined and destined to do it? Was it rebellion on his part? Was he an instrument of the devil? People have always speculated, but the leading speculation of most folk is he was forcing Jesus' hand. He was totally sympathetic to Jesus and Jesus' cause. He just felt that Jesus wasn't doing it the right way. Many folk sympathize with our Prime Minister and just think she's maybe not doing it the right way. And he was going to corner Jesus into having to do something dramatic. He fully expected if Jesus got arrested, Jesus would do a miracle and escape and he would get on with it. How many folk in our lives have really hurt us by pushing us to where we didn't want to go? And then he got surprised when Jesus didn't jump through the hoops that he presented. And let's take the other friend. I say Judas first because in many ways Peter's worse. Peter, who had walked and talked and ate and slept and hung about with Jesus for 3 years, was the one who denied him. Peter, whose mother-in-law Jesus had healed in Capernaum, denied him, denied knowing him. Peter, who had walked on water, he denied him. Peter, who had left everything, home, family, work, neighborhood, denied him. Peter, who was one of the inner cabinet of three, Peter, James, and John, they were the ones at the Transfiguration, denied him. Not an enemy, not someone full of hate and revenge, someone who protested his loyalty to him. Even if all the rest betrayed you or denied you, I'll be faithful and loyal. I'm your nearest and dearest. I'm your closest friend. Peter's character was quick and impulsive and rushing in where angels fear to tread. And he made mistakes, but he was the kind of character folks still liked. Oh, he's just like that. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "The man who never made a mistake never made anything." So Peter, the one who professed to be the closest to Jesus, he denies. But Jesus never denied Peter. Jesus never washed his hands of Peter. He never gave up. After he rose from the dead, he singled out Peter, took him aside from the rest. "Do you still love me? Then feed my sheep." Three times, mirroring the denials. Leaving aside Judas and Peter, what of ourselves? Denials come in thousands of ways. There's a world of suffering around us. If we don't lift a finger to help this world of suffering, we are denying the sufferers what they need. We're denying Jesus' call to minister. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, baptize, make a difference, be the salt of the earth. We deny sometimes when there's an outward form of religion. When people say the right words, even do the right actions, but inside there's an emptiness. It's what I would call polo people. There's a hole in the middle. We deny the reality in substance. On Sundays, millions of people go to church, but even more millions do not go to church. All those millions are denying the significance and the importance of the eternal things in our lives. They're saying it didn't matter what Jesus did. We may profess God to be the creator, but if we then go and pollute the planet or abuse our own health, then we're not doing with our actions what we say with our lips. We may say God is the ruler of the universe and God of our little universe. But if we act self-centeredly, then we deny him his place on the throne of our hearts. We can deny Jesus by our silence as well as by our words, by our inaction as well as our action. We deny Jesus when we refuse to obey him, when we refuse to pick up the cross and follow. It isn't easy picking up the cross and following, but we're still challenged to do so. It's all summed up in our next hymn, which is, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." The story behind it is quite moving. Speak about being let down by friends. The writer of the hymn was told in early life, "You've got an illness that's going to lead to you being blind in later life." George Matheson, in 1842. He met a girl at university when he was a student, and they were going to be getting married. But as a good Christian man, he felt it's only right I let the girlfriend know about my blindness that will be coming. So he summoned up the courage and he said to her, "You know, if you marry me, I'll end up blind at a fairly young age. Will you still marry me?" And she said immediately, "Oh no, I'm not going to spend my life with that blind man." A few years later, his sister was about to get married. On the eve of the wedding, he was thinking about these things, and he thought about the love that does not let go, Jesus' love. And in 5 minutes, he wrote this hymn. People do let us down. Our last hymn will be talking about can a mother's tender love cease towards the child she bore? It can, if you watch the news. There is only one love that is absolutely, relentlessly faithful. God's love. Sometimes people reflect God's love and they're channels of God's love, but they don't always manage it. But we do have one whose love will never let us go. So today, two thoughts. Just be careful that we are not being a Peter or a Judas or a close friend of Jesus who in one way or another is hurting our friend. But the other thought is, even when Judas and Peter do hurt their friend, he never betrays or denies or lets go of us. Judas made the mistake of writing himself off and hung himself. Peter had the wit to hang around, and Jesus could take him aside and say, feed my sheep, let's try again. Amen. And now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we lay before you our money, we also lay before you our time, our talents, and our lives. Work in us and work through us for the extension of your kingdom and the spread of your gospel. Amen. So let's sing hymn 677 in the Red Book, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. I give thee
I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its glory, that in thy sunshine's praises be.
Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we come today with gratitude for all your gifts, sorrow for all our sins, and trust in your power and your will to help. We ask that you give us forgiveness for the past, strength for the present, and confidence that the future can bring nothing that will be beyond us to cope with. Keep us, O God, from all the things which make friendship difficult or impossible. Keep us from the sarcastic tongue, the critical eye, the ears which love malicious gossip, the mind which thinks the worst, and the heart whose only love is self-love. And give us the things which will enable friendship to flourish. Give us the ability to bear one another's burdens and to forgive one another's faults. Give us the sympathetic, the unselfish, and the understanding heart. Give us the temper and the tongue which are always under control. Give us the determination to treat others as we would have them treat us. Give us the tolerance which can always see the point of view of others. And help us to live ever remembering that in you we live and move and have our being, and that life is always in your sight. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers today. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for Jim Grant and John Hunter, Christine Cattile, Betty McCubbin, and Claire Cameron. We also pray for Gloria Smith and John Thompson, Peggy Parsons, Anne Barraclough, and Mary Gibson. We pray for your comfort and peace upon those who are bereaved. We especially think of the family and friends of Jean McCausland. We pray for the wider world. We think of New Zealand mourning the loss of 50 people massacred in mosques. We pray for the people of Mozambique, Malawi, and Zimbabwe, who have suffered a very bad cyclone. We pray for the passengers on board a cruise ship off the coast of Norway. There are 1,300 passengers in a fierce storm, and the ship has lost all power and they've managed to winch off 350 of them so far, and they're still trying again. We pray for France, with 8,000 yellow vest protesters for the 19th week in a row. But we pray for our own country. There were 1 million protesters in London yesterday. We pray for the whole Brexit business. It seems to be shaking us to our foundations. Grant to us your wisdom and your guidance and your strength and your love. We also suffer from an epidemic of knife crime. There have been 40 people stabbed to death this year. We pray for Syria. We celebrate the end of the ISIS caliphate. But it's not the end of ISIS. And the battle for the hearts and minds and souls of lives continues. We pray for your church. We pray as a presbytery for our Drossin Park Church and the Reverend Tanya Webster. But we pray for ourselves in Saltcoats and your people wherever they are today in very difficult circumstances. May we be your hands and feet and voice, the pointers of the world to you. Amen. Our closing hymn is 676, Hark My Soul, It Is the Lord. And now may the wisdom of the wonderful Counselor guide you, the strength of the Holy Spirit uphold you, the love of the everlasting Father enfold you, and the peace of the Prince of Peace be upon you now and evermore.